Well, turn with me in your Bibles this evening to Deuteronomy chapter number 24. We're going to be looking, starting in verse number 18. We'll go through the end of the chapter here in just a moment. But as I was looking at the book of Deuteronomy, you know, it is a book that was written as a reminder in so many ways. There's a constant challenge in it as a reminder. And I think that's one of the things that we need today with everything going on. And I want to look at some things there, but before we get into the message, I want you to think about something with me. Who is it that's in your life that doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior? What's that name that just pops into your mind immediately? Maybe it's a friend or family member. Maybe it's someone you work with, someone you go to school with. But there's someone, I'm sure, every one of us knows that is lost without Christ. I'd like for you to keep that name in your mind tonight as we look through the Word of God and what He has for us. And at the end of the service tonight, we'll bring that name back up to God. And again, here as we look in our text, we're going to start here in verse number 18 as we open. It says, "But thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in Egypt, and the Lord thy God redeemed thee thence. Therefore, I command thee to do this thing. When thou cuttest down thine harvest in thy field, and hast forgot a sheaf in the field, thou shalt not go again to fetch it. It shall be for the stranger, for the fatherless, and for the widow, that the Lord thy God may bless thee in all the work of thine hands. When thou beatest thine olive tree, thou shalt not go over the boughs again. It shall be for the stranger, for the fatherless, and for the widow. When thou gatherest the grapes of thy vineyard, thou shalt not glean it afterward. It shall be for the stranger, for the fatherless, and for the widow. And thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in the land of Egypt. Therefore I command thee to do this thing." We've got to remember tonight the responsibility that we have to reach out right here where we're at to the people right here around us in our Jerusalem. You know, in our own country, there are millions of people that don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. I'm all for sending missionaries around the world. It's a wonderful thing. I'm very grateful for all of those that are going. But sometimes I think we forget about our own country. We forget about our own towns and cities. But everywhere we look, there's souls that we're passing by on a daily basis. Missions doesn't begin across the sea. It doesn't begin across the country, but right here with you and I. And that's what we've got to focus on. Who are you thinking of right now that hasn't trusted Christ as Lord and Savior? You know, in studying this text, this book of Deuteronomy, you'll find that the name of the book explains its purpose for God inspiring its writing to begin with. By the time Moses was used to write it, the first generation Israelites that had been delivered from the bondage of Egypt, they had passed away with the exception of Joshua and Caleb. Therefore, there was a great need to remind that second generation of the Israelites of the law of the Lord as had been given to their parents and grandparents. The book of Deuteronomy, I'll learn to talk tonight sometimes. But the book of Deuteronomy is simply a book of Moses repeating the law to the second generation of Israelites who at this time knew nothing but wilderness wanderings. The book of Deuteronomy literally means second law. And this is the record of Moses sharing the law of God with the people of God for the second time. It's like taking a walk down memory lane. And there's the constant challenge to remember. I'm going to look at a couple verses. You can stay where you're at. But in chapter 5, verse 15, he says, "And remember that thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt. God brought thee out." In chapter 7, verse 18, "But shalt well remember what the Lord thy God did unto Pharaoh and unto all Egypt." Chapter 8, verse 2, "And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee, to humble, to prove, to know what was in thine heart." and chapter 24, verse 9, remember what the Lord thy God did unto Miriam by the way. God, through his inspiration to the children of Israel through Moses, is telling them, hey, don't forget where you came from. Don't forget that you were once in bondage in Egypt. He said, I brought you out. I brought you out of that land where you were a slave. You saw great and mighty things done. You saw the Red Sea split open, parted. They walked across on dry ground. Saw many more miracles. We saw God feed them, sustain them in their wilderness wanderings. We saw amazing things of God. But this second generation of Israelites had forgotten some things. They needed a reminder, just as you and I do today. And I'm only 35 and I forget things constantly, it seems. If it wasn't for my phone and this little reminders app, you know, I wouldn't remember half the things that I have to do. I've got the calendar on here that keeps me going to the right state next, you know, for meetings and things like that. It's amazing the things that I would forget sometimes. You can ask my wife. She'll back that up for sure. But it reminds me of two friends who hadn't seen each other in some time. And as they were in town together, they were doing some business. One of them was talking and said, hey, you know, I found a doctor in town that was able to help me with my memory loss problem. And of course, the other guy's interested. So what's the name of the doctor you've been going to see? You have that silent moment. What is the name of that doctor? So it's just on the tip of my tongue, but I tell you what, what's the name of that flower that's got a real pretty flower on the end? It's got a long stem and got some thorns in it. So, well, that's a rose, isn't it? That's right. Rose, what's the name of that doctor I've been going to see? You know, he had some problems remembering things. But when God inspired this book of the Bible and the law, he took that into account. He knew that we were nothing but dust. We would have some of those same problems. And he said, remember, lest we forget what he has done for us. Now, specifically, we're going to look at three things that he wants the Israelites to never forget. And through his preserved word, he wants us to never forget tonight. Again, we read verse 18 as our main text. He said, but thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in Egypt. That thou wast a bondman in Egypt. He said, never ever forget your ruin. The first point tonight is remember your ruin. Remember where you were at when God picked you up out of the grips of sin, lost without Christ, nowhere else to turn, but Christ found you. If you're saved tonight, you have this moment that you can go back to. You'll know when and where. You may not know the date and the time, but you can picture that moment right now. Where were you at? What was your current situation when God found you? I can tell you that you were a bondman. You were a slave to sin, lost without Christ. It would do us good today to remember our ruin. We need to remember the depths of sin we were in when God picked us up out of the grips and saved our soul. But we've forgotten where we were when Jesus came into our life and saved us so many times. For me personally, you know, I was 17 years old when God saved me. I had met my wife at a Food Lion grocery store in North Carolina. We had started working together and started dating. And the first thing she did was invite me to come to church with her. And, well, I went with her. And first time I had been in a Baptist church, I didn't really know what to expect. But, you know, I heard the gospel preached that day. I had grown up hearing it in a Methodist church from time to time. And I had heard all about the gospel. I had been to vacation Bible schools. I had been to Sunday school. I had heard the gospel, but never an application to me personally that I had to trust it for me. But in that first service, I'm sure I don't remember the exact point in time where I grasped that, but I know I heard it from day one in that church. Over the course of the next few weeks or even a month, there was a message on hell preached one Sunday morning. Strong message. I literally felt if I was going to slip off that pew, I was going into the pit of hell. I knew I was lost without Christ. I knew I needed to go forward at the invitation. I had already heard what was needed to be saved, and I kind of understood that, but I still sat still. When I got home that day, I had to be at work by 2 o'clock, and I was sitting on my couch watching television, and I was watching a fisherman on TV, actually. And I had watched a lot of fishermen at that time. I knew most of them, but this was a new one. I haven't saw him before. At the end of the show, he stopped about a few minutes short, and he started sharing some verses. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And he keeps going through some of these verses. And as he's going through them, God just said, or the verse that came to my mind was, today is a day of salvation. And God just hit me with that so hard. I knew I had to get saved then. I knelt down beside my couch at home and trusted Christ to save me. And he did. And, you know, I wasn't a bad person at that point in time. Sure, I was a sinner. But, you know, I didn't have some of the testimonies of what I'd heard from other people, what God had brought them out of. But God allowed me to go into the prison ministry. And we'd go in once a month and do a church service. And I'm going to keep this short, but there was a man one day when I went in. I had never saw him before, and I happened to go in with a prison chaplain because my pastor wasn't able to go with me that day as a friend of ours. And we went in, and he sees this man, and the guy comes over and just gives him a big hug, wouldn't let go of him. And I heard him tell him, said, "Hey, I want you to give your testimony tonight." Now, I don't ask people in the prison what they've did because, quite frankly, I don't want to know who I'm in there with. There's no guards in here. It's a minimum custody unit, but no one with life sentences and stuff like that is supposed to be in there. He starts off his testimony. "Well, I'm in here. I've got 40 years and 2 life sentences. That's what I was put in with." It's like, okay, this is going to be good because he shouldn't be here. And he proceeds to share that he had murdered 8 people in a shooting spree and had raped several women. And just horrific crimes that was done. And he continues, and he shared the testimony of how he met Jim that was there with me. And he actually met him the first day Jim was on the job as chaplain. He hadn't even got his office yet. He sees this man pacing around and said, "Hey, come here, bro. Man, I just want to tell you I love you, and I want to share something with you." Now, he didn't get saved that day, but he did say that was the first time anyone had ever said the words, "I love you," directed at him. Now, it doesn't excuse anything this man did. But he said this. He said, "Jim, you can go into this prison. You can talk to anyone you want. No one's going to mess with you. No one's going to hurt you." And that held true. Jim was able to talk to a lot of people because of that. And this man, he got saved a few months later. Started holding Bible studies with some of the men. Started seeing people come to the Lord. Through the appeals process, ended up getting both life sentences dropped. One of them was going in concurrency with the 40-year sentence. He had about 25 years left. They moved him out of the MATS unit, moved him to my town in the minimum custody unit. He applied for a MAP program, as they call it, which is where you can work X number of tasks, and they'll give you a release date that's 5 years out. Well, from the time that I was there to 5-year mark, he's out and he's an assistant pastor in our town. He's going back into the prison where he was at and he's leading men to the Lord. He's going all around the area preaching and sharing his testimony because, you know, you just can't go up to him and say, "Well, you just don't know what I've done. God couldn't save me." There's not many that's outdone him to say. But I share all that to say this. Remember your ruin. Remember where you came from. Remember that someone else is in that position now. Lost, without Christ, struggling to stay afloat in their sins. We were all once there. This man grasped that concept, and he was willing to go back to those people. Sometimes we get in a place where we just don't want to go there. They're people that we don't want to associate with, but they're people that need the gospel of Christ. Now, God didn't encourage the Israelites to live in a constant remembrance of their ruin. He also admonishes them to remember their redemption. As we see here in verse 18, I'll read again, "But thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in Egypt, and the Lord thy God redeemed thee thence." And the Lord thy God redeemed thee thence. We're to remember our ruin, but we're to remember our redemption. God encouraged the Israelites to remember that He is the one that brought them out of Egypt. He brought them out from under the slavery, the bondage. And tonight, I love the song, "Victory in Jesus." Because tonight, we have victory in Jesus if we're saved. The Israelites, they had victory because they were saved from the bondage of their sin. The bondage in Egypt. I did a word study on bondman versus redeemed, very high level, but you know, a bondman has a problem. The redeemed, though, has a price. The bondman is detained. The redeemed is delivered. The bondman is held captive, but the redeemed is set free from their sin. Tonight, if we're saved, we've been held captive, we've been detained, we've had a problem, but now the price has been paid in Jesus Christ, who shed every drop of His blood on Calvary with you and I, for you and I. That is the price. It was a great price. It was the ultimate price. But salvation is free to us. We were delivered, set free from that sin. But do you see what Moses is admonishing the people of God to do? He said, don't get stuck in remembering your ruin, that you forget where you were redeemed from the bondage of sin. The word redeemed literally means to purchase by paying a price. Again, our salvation is free, but it certainly wasn't cheap. The Lord never admonishes us in His Word how many times to partake of the Lord's table. I see on your communion table you have, well, okay, you don't have one. I'm remembering this morning, I'm sorry. But a lot of times they say, in remembrance of me. In remembrance of me. You know, we partake of the Lord's supper, the Lord's table, in a way to remember what He did for us on the cross at Calvary. We've got to remember the sacrifice that was made, the blood that was shed. Yes, we should take time now and then to remember our ruin, but not get stuck in it to the point of that we forget the price that was paid. You know, I think about how the Apostle Paul said this about remembering the things of the past. In Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14, he says this, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. I haven't arrived. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth into those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." You know what? He said, these things that we have in our past. Now, I think we're not going to forget what happened, but we don't have to hold on to it to the point that it kind of stunts our Christian growth. It stunts our walk. We can't let it keep us from going back to those that are lost, who were in the same place that we once were. We've got to remember that we were redeemed, and now we're going to move forward. We're going to reach forth into the things which are before. And we're going to press toward the mark. And you know, that word press, you know, it says we're going to get that pushback. The world hates us because they hate Christ. They don't want to change their ways. So as we press forward, we're going to have some kickbacks. But God is good. The verse He's been giving me over these past couple weeks, "Be still and know that I am God." And as I think about that, you know, with canceled meetings and things like that, we can tend to get bogged down and forget how good He is. But in it all, he supplied every need we've had. And it's just amazing to step back and just look at what God has done in our life and know what he's capable of and what he will do. But God says to us today, as he said to Israel, remember your ruin, remember your redemption. But one more thing. It's one more thing in these verses that he wants his people to never forget. And he actually spends more time on that than he did in our redemption from our ruin. As we go back to our text here, but thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in Egypt, and the Lord thy God redeemed thee thence. Therefore, I command thee to do this thing. The word therefore, connecting word that links what's just been said with what's about to be said. It is this, that I command thee to do this thing. To put it into my words a little bit, since you have been redeemed from your ruin, therefore, you have a responsibility. You have a responsibility to the lost. And we're to remember our responsibility tonight. God is speaking to Israel, but his preserved word for us is for us to gain. So if you're saved, he's talking to you. Therefore, I command thee to do this thing. There are so many souls that cross our paths on a daily basis. Many are hurt. Many are confused. Many are simply distracted by the world that we live in. And many have simply never been told about the death of Christ on Calvary's cross, that it was for them personally. They may have heard the gospel, but never heard the personal application. You know, Nicodemus comes to mind as he went to Jesus by night and was talking about being born again. He didn't even understand what that meant. The world can hear, you must be born again, but as Nicodemus, does that mean I'm going to go back into my mother's womb and be born again? You know, it's confusion. But Christ straightens it out, talking about the spiritual birth, the second birth. But as we look here in verses 19 through 21, I'm not going to read it all for time's sake, but you know, we're going to look at the spiritual application versus the application to the people of Israel tonight, and I believe that still does justice to the text, but just to have a couple statements I'll share and I'll be done. Never ever forget, since you have been redeemed, now you have a responsibility to others. Now that your spiritual thirst has been quenched, never forget the millions of people around the world that are still thirsty for the water of life. Since your spiritual hunger has been fed, you should never forget the multitudes of others that are hungering for the bread of life. Reaching your city and beyond is not just the responsibility of your pastor, your deacons. It's each and every one of our responsibility. There was a pastor I talked to. He said, I'm running out of Bibles. He said, I've got a lady in my church. She picked up the phone book and she started calling every number in the phone book. And if they were willing, she would tell them, hey, I'll have my pastor send you a Bible. And he would do it. But he was sending out so many. She was just talking to people that she called going down the list in the phone book. You know, each and every one of us can do that. And in a time like we're in right now, when people are at home scared to go out, they might be willing to talk a little bit more. They might be more open to hearing some encouraging words about the one who is in charge, who is in control tonight, the one that our faith is in. And we can just tell a little bit about that, how good he's been to us. But it's your responsibility. It's my responsibility. Now that I've been redeemed from my ruin, I have a responsibility to take the gospel to those who have yet to be redeemed. And I'll close with this thought. How many of you know the name Edward Kimball? Not too many, but it's the man that first witnessed to D.L. Moody. Saw D.L. Moody saved. You know, that line has men like Wilbur Chapman, Billy Sunday, Billy Graham. Thousands of people across this country and this world have been saved by hearing the preaching of these men. But by the faithfulness of a Sunday school teacher, that one soul was touched for Christ, was forever changed, and thousands more as a result. That one name that I asked you to think about, get that name back in your mind for a moment. Could they be the next faithful soul winner. The next is just simply willing to tell Christ to the people of their workplace, their family members. The next great preacher or evangelist or missionary could come from that. If not, just that one soul is worth it all. But my challenge tonight as we close, I'll close in a word of prayer and your pastor can come, share the invitation time is how he likes, but I encourage you to just to lift that name up tonight in prayer. Bathe that name in prayer as you go home. And just ask God how he would have you reach out to him. Be willing.